Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
Hey. Welcome to Extra Bits and Tits.
Extra Bits.
Extra Bits.
And them tits.
And them tits.
No, I think we just stick with Extra Bits.
Yeah. I agree.
Oh. Okay.
No? Hi.
Would
Hi.
Anybody like to? Well, you guys bring the stuff.
Well, I heard a big inhale, so I thought you were going to say something.
No, I'm not breathing.
Producer Rami.
That was Rami. Rami's tired.
I'm just exhausted of your shit. Well, speaking of Pete, Kerrod came up with something to talk about, and then I came up with something else, and we both realised it's a Pete thing. So, what did you call it today, Kerrod?
Shit on Pete podcast today, guys. We're going to shit on Pete for today's podcast.
Come on, give us a third.
That was the third.
Was it?
Bless you, Kimber.
Bless you, Kimber.
Thank you.
Shit on Pete podcast today.
Why? Oh, what did I do?
Well, one of the reasons is it is your wife's birthday this weekend, Pete.
Oh, Liz.
It's an exciting time.
You obviously knew that, though. You didn't need producer Kerrod to tell you.
March 18, baby.
Kerrod
Saturday.
Kerrod has bought her a beautiful gift.
Oh, thank you. Fantastic. Can I have it, please?
And you told us something this morning about your beautiful wife's birthday. What did you have planned for her birthday?
Nothing.
That's not entirely true.
Something.
What do you mean?
Something's
planned.
Because
have been
there
planned.
Are plans. Yeah. It's just that you didn't make them.
She made them.
Oh, okay.
So she has booked Moulin Rouge for her birthday.
Yep.
And we're going.
Nice one, Liz.
And has booked a lovely dinner.
Nice one, Liz. Going.
And has been looking, we might do a little hotel stay, which she's been looking at.
What a gorgeous idea, Liz.
That's really cute.
And I'm just coming along for the ride.
Now, I'm interested in this because I also fall down badly in the planning of the romance department.
Yeah.
And I did have a conversation once with Tima, beautiful wife.
Just the once.
Where I said, to her, you know, like, let's be practical for a moment about romance. If I'm not...
Because there's nothing more romantic than practical romance. I don't even think the two belong in the same sentence.
I hear you, but let's work in the real world for a moment. If you plan it, I'll do it and we'll have fun, and at least then we do it rather than me forgetting to do it all.
No, okay. That's a cop out. It is just step up. It's just step up.
Step up.
Okay. But Pete, surely you knew it was your wife's birthday.
Yes.
The question is, why did you not plan anything?
Because I'm busy.
No, but is it more like it's obviously like Liz has taken the sort of she's gone with it and gone, I'm going to do this. Is it because in the past you have done a bad job or organized things?
No.
She didn't enjoy, like, what made her take this into her own hands?
Not really. I think this is one of those things where she has, in our house, when it comes to future planning, right, the conversation is generally from Liz, I want to do this, and I go, just book it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
And Moulin Rouge was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'd love to go see Moulin Rouge. And I went, I'll just book it. Just go. Let's go. We'll go. And then it turned into, I've booked Moulin Rouge. We're going to go on my birthday.
Right. Okay.
Now that sounds like I've fucked up. And
because it is.
No, and you know what? Like, the thing is, I haven't actually thought of or prepared anything. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden her birthday is taking place and things are happening and it's great and she's organized them. I have done big things in the past. I took her. We went to Carousel once and I'd gone to half a dozen. I'd gone to half a dozen shops and I'd set her up a treasure hunt.
Oh, that's cool. That is nice.
Yep, I'd gone and bought half a dozen products from those shops. I had left them there, mm-hmm. each with a note to here's the next, you know, here's the next place to go.
I'm writing that shit down. That's gold.
That is gold.
Yeah.
And you know when you say big things, and I get why you think that's a big thing because it is, like to have the organisation behind it, but this is a common trap for men in particular where men think that to impress a woman, you have to do a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be like, I'll do one big thing of the year or save up for this thing. And we're going to, but to impress women, it's lots of little things.
And thank God for that.
Yeah.
It's lots of little things.
A bit more manageable, right?
It might be 100 little things a day.
And that goes for both sexes, I think, because I love that as well.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's little just things. Being thoughtful and looking after the other person, but there does seem a lot of men kind of feel like, and I think that's because that's how a lot of men feel appreciated, is if we buy you that one car part you've always wanted or that trip that you always wanted to go on, you know what I mean? It feels like the big things count more.
Well, yeah. Also, advertising is aspirational in that way, isn't it? It's always the guy giving the lady the diamond necklace or something. It's they're always huge gestures. Sure.
Yeah, they are. They always are, but I don't think you need it. Well, we just want to be thought of.
Okay, well, oh, no. Well, I think about her all the time.
So you haven't organised anything to do for Liz's birthday, right, for this year?
Nothing.
Have you organised a present for this year?
No. And here's the other thing, right? So, she wanted perfume.
Yeah.
She just went out and bought it the other day.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And that's one of those. You can't do that either. Like, my partner will say that to me. I'll be like, oh, I think I'm going to go. You can't buy anything a month before your birthday.
Mm. Yeah.
A month before your birthday, everything is off limits. Yeah. Like, you can't purchase anything because it means someone in your life will be thinking about getting it for you.
So get her a program.
We were walking through Maya. And we were walking past the perfume section, and I was like, what was that perfume that you really want, you know, like this? And she goes, oh, don't worry about it, I bought it. And I was like, oh, have you? Oh, geez, that's a real shame. That, geez, I can't believe you did that. almost making it like I'd already bought it. And she was like, you haven't bought it. Shut up. I know you haven't bought it already.
She knows. She knows a hiding
spot. I
don't
know the answer to this, but like maybe because if you do have the crown stay, maybe you could put something like in the hotel as a surprise. Yes. So she goes to check out the robes or whatever.
Yep. And there I am, naked in a robe.
See, now that is a present.
Yes, straight on here, Kimber.
Well, as Kimber said, they love the little things.
That's great. But, you know, to back up what Kim has said, I was also going to suggest something similar, but with the restaurant. I'm guessing you've got dinner booked.
Well, Liz booked it.
So you contact that restaurant and you let them know it's her birthday and have a little cake and a candle ready. That just something simple.
That's nice. That is a great idea.
Yeah.
Nice idea.
Look, you two are taking notes like this is a lecture. This is a model.
Maybe is I can organise a walk-on role for Moulin Rouge for
them. Oh, no, that is a present. I know Simon Burke.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I just stopped for a moment. Is there a Liz in the audience?
That's a good point. Well,
sounds like you're going to have a beautiful time on Liz's birthday. You're getting just a spoil. You're getting the hotel stay. You're getting Moulin Rouge. You're getting dinner. And it's not your birthday.
I can't wait. I'm going to have a ball. It's going to be fantastic. I get two birthdays a year, mine and Liz's.
What have we got coming up in the podcast, guys?
We have got Oscar Allen back from the West Coast Eagles.
What a nice guy.
What a beautiful face.
Great to see him.
You definitely know he's back on the field. You know how I know? Because he's got a fresh fade. Did you see fresh fade?
Oh, he does.
Fresh haircut.
I see.
Yep. Kimber's big ones.
Yeah, a few fun facts in there today.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
I went toe-to-toe with a doona. Yep, came off second best.
We talked about the unbelievable parents who go to these incredible lengths to find their kids' lost stuff. Oh, you know, the stuff that the kid won't let go of because it's their favourite bunny or whatever, and you're like, ugh. But parents are amazing, and the phones went crazy. There were so many people calling up.
Seriously.
Kids, am I right?
No.
Hey, Maddie, Osborne Park.
Who knew?
Hey?
Osborne Park.
Bloody hell.
Wow. I love it. It was like watching Weekender or something, one of those cool travel shows.
Yeah.
Go and check it out.
The Hidden Secrets.
Yeah. I'm an Aussie Park local, and I didn't know about half those places.
There you go.
Learned a lot.
Uh-huh. I knew about the massage parlors. Yeah. All right, have a podcast.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
I had a happy ending once.
Pete, Matt and Kimber. Parents, I take my hat off to you. I don't know how you do it.
Thank you. Hang on, let me stand for this.
Yeah, please, do stand.
Thank you.
You deserve it. I'm giving you all, actually, a round of applause.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You make a lot of sacrifices day to day, and you do it for a lot longer than you think you have to. You're thinking 18, they're flying the nest, and you're going to be fine. Nah.
Oh, no, I'm 37. I know my parents are still making sacrifices for me.
It's just a thing. But Rove McManus put a post up on his Facebook yesterday, and I thought, oh, my God, you poor man and all of you poor parents out there. So they've gone out to the beach for the evening, him and his family, and his daughter has lost one of her baby elf dolls.
Oh, God, I just got goosebumps. I know exactly where this is going to go.
You know, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
And this elf doll in the photo that Rover's put up, it's about the size of three of his fingers.
Uh-huh.
It's tiny.
Yeah.
And they've lost it somewhere at the beach. First, they scoured the car and the house and they can't find it anywhere. And they're like, oh. And so while she was at home crying in bed with mum, Rove got back in the car and drove to the beach and looked everywhere for it.
Oh, this now, is my life.
The number of times I have heard of parents being like, oh, we went to the Royal Show and she dropped her bunny and now we're walking back through the Royal Show for the next 5 hours.
Yep.
To find the bunny, because when your kid has a favorite thing, they can't be without it, and your life is upside down until it returns.
Izzy's tiger.
Oh, Izzy's got a tiger.
And number two, she's got a tiger. Tiger has to come with us everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And every year we go down south.
Yep.
And last year we made it as far as Dawesville.
Oh, yeah.
Before we had to turn around because she remembered she forgot tiger. And I'm like, if we're going to be away for a week, I would rather just hit another couple of hours, go back, get it, come back.
There's no level of distraction that would get her off that.
Oh, God, no. No.
You're going to hear about it for days.
She sleeps with Tiger. Just have Tiger. And I get it. I love Tiger. Tiger's great. He's a member of the family. Tiger has to be with us.
Yep.
Or else we'll hear about it for the whole week.
Look, I understand and I feel for all of you who are doing it. What are the lengths you went to find your kid's favorite thing?
Oh, wow. Okay.
They lost their special bunny or whatever it was. What did you have to do to get it back? David in Willerton, tell us about the length you went to find your kid's lost thing.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, mate.
First time I've ever got through for anything on the radio.
Oh, so welcome aboard, bud.
Congratulations. Hit us with the story, brother.
Yeah, my daughter's actually a little bit older. She's actually 16 now, and this would have happened a couple of years ago. We went on a holiday on a caravanning trip down to Cervantes,
mm-hmm.
and she's got this brown leather bracelet, and she's had it forever. Absolutely loves this thing and never takes it off, and you know how it is.
Yep.
And we went down to the beach, like Rove, and we walked from the caravan park all the way to the beach, did our thing, had our swim, did whatever we needed to do, got back, realised that the bracelet wasn't there.
Oh, no.
Had no clue where on this journey that this bracelet might have been lost. And we had a bit of a look around. We couldn't find it. We went back. She was devastated. And she was just devastated the whole time back at the caravan park. We ate dinner. And then, as per usual, I jumped back with my torch.
Good man.
With my daughter.
God, dads. We love you, dads.
Daddy David. Yeah, go on.
We walked around the beach for probably an hour and a half. And I'm thinking, how are we going to find this bracelet? And, it's just like a cork in the ocean. And we separated and we split up and to look in different sections, and I walked up the sort of a higher up the beach,
mm-hmm.
and I kicked this bracelet and found it. And I picked it up. I picked it up and I walked over to my daughter and I put my arm around her and I said, look, we're probably not going to find this bracelet. And then she was just losing it. And then I opened my hand and she saw the bracelet and loved me forever.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah.
You know what I love about this? It's the classic dad play as well, isn't it? Of that you found it. You know you found it. You're all proud. The chest's pussed out, but you go, I don't think we're going to find it.
But also,
I'm sorry, honey.
Yeah, and even at the age of like 14, that you still don't, you never want your kids to feel sad.
Yeah.
Right? Cynthia in Bullsbrook, what did you, what length did you go to find your kid's lost thing?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're great, Cyn.
So this is going back a few years. My daughter's 12 now, but she was one at the time. She was sick on Christmas Eve, so we went to the medical centre and she took her beloved Hoot stuffed owl with her. And we came back that night going to bed and we could not find Hoot anywhere, And, of course, being, a little toddler, bawling her eyes out, couldn't get her to sleep. I realised she had left it at the medical centre, which will be closed, for a few days, being Christmas, Boxing Day. And I was like, oh, my God. So I did a post on the Facebook page, saying if anyone sees this, and the next morning, Christmas morning, I wake up and there's a message from one of the GPs, which happened to be our GP. And she said, look, meet me there and I will open up for you so you can get her Hoot. And it was there on the waiting table. So best GP in the world made her Christmas.
Mate, that's awesome.
And probably, and someone who has seen a crying child many times, a GP, and has gone, I'll do whatever I can.
Which is incredible.
That's so nice.
You can't even get in to see a GP at the moment. Darren in East Freer, last one, mate, bring us home.
All right, mate. Yeah, we were up in the in a lounge room and my daughter's come to us and said, I've lost my Barbie mobile phone.
Right.
And it's about the size of a thumbnail. And all she knew is that it was in, we had those IKEA boxes, was about eight of those boxes full of toys, including Lego. And my wife and I, she was just inconsolable. So we basically we sat down and we poured all these boxes out on the floor, spent about 3 hours, and we found this Barbie phone just in the corner of one of these boxes. And mate, she was the happiest kid ever. But it took us about 3 hours of sitting down on the lounge room floor going through everything to try and dig it out.
The Barbie mobile phone.
Let's go. I know the feeling because those Barbies, everything's so tiny. You know what they need to do? They need to make a life-sized Barbie so everything is life-size.
I don't think that's quite the same thing when people get a life-size Barbie, Pete.
Maddie, you're back. You've been out there working away for the last couple of hours writing something, and this off the back of Emily Davies. So Perth influencer.
You know who she is.
300,000 followers. But it even got me where I was like, you're setting up Aussie Park as the influencer capital of the world.
She's creating a studio. I think it's called Studio Precinct, which she hopes is going to be used for content creators there in Osborne Park. Fantastic, that kind of semi-industrial thing in Osborne Park's brilliant.
Mm.
But her hope is that it's going to change Osborne Park into the coolest hub of Perth.
Oh, all right.
And, you know, we all know that influencers now run the world and they sort of decide what's cool or not. But, I mean, Aussie Park, as practical as it is, I never saw it as the place where the cool kids would hang.
The Amalfi Coast, the Champs-Élysées, Park Avenue, New York City. Known the world over as the playground for the rich, the famous, and the insta-famous. But there's a new kid on the block. Perth, Western Australia, 6017, Osborne Park. Your journey to Perth's newest hipster hotspot, Osborne Park, starts right here on the Boulevard of Dreams they call Scarborough Beach Road. Why not start your Osborne Park day with breakfast at the Golden Bakery, where you'll see more naked flesh than those topless beaches along the Côte d'Azur in the form of the Brickies cleavage.
Yeah, can I have a sausage roll, a steak and cheese pie, and a chocky milk, thanks. Oh, nah, make it a mockery.
Then it's time to shop till you drop. Forget Gucci. See you later, Ralph Lauren. Here in Osborne Park, it's all about sensible glamour as you while away the hours at Kev's Beds or the Roof Rack Superstore. But Osborne Park's not just for the adults. Osborne Park is for the whole family. Leave the kids at Cloud 9 while Mum indulges herself at the Gold Lash Lounge.
Oh!
And Dad lets go of the pressures of work at one of the many hidden massage parlours.
Oh.
Yes, Osborne Park. It truly is BCFing fun.
Game day is made electric this footy season at Crown.
Alan, unbelievable!
And right now, with Pete, Matt and Kimber, it's our very own West Coast Eagles.
Can you believe this?
Please welcome Oscar Allen.
Ah, welcome back, Oscar. Buddy.
Good morning. How are we?
Happy to see you, bud.
Happy to see you too. And can I just get a distinction out there? These are Birkenstocks. And Birkenstocks are like the premier of slides.
Oh, so, okay. So
do they change when you wear them with socks?
Yes. Well, I think
they
it's more...
They become more powerful.
I think it's all functional and professional now. So okay. Obviously you wear slides, Birks, because you don't want to have the hassle of wearing enclosed shoes, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But Birkenstocks with socks, all of a sudden, people who don't like seeing feet, don't worry. You don't have to see them. So it's comfortable and therefore professional.
But can you kick a ball with them?
No.
Would you say you've got a nice foot?
No, I would not. No. I've thought about going to get a pedicure and my partner says, don't do that to the poor person who's going to have to touch your feet. Like, they will not enjoy it. And seeing as we're getting back into footy season, all my toenails are black and bruised and... Yeah, that's why the socks on. It's for other people, not me.
Jeez, they don't talk about that when they talk about the high flyers of football,
about the
black and blue toes.
Now, mate, it must be just euphoric. The season starts tonight. It's Richmond, it's Carlton, 4:20, and then, of course, the Eagles. You guys heading over to the Eastern States to take on North Melbourne at Marvel Stadium, 10:45 a.m. on Saturday. And you are back, baby. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. It's something that's been a long time coming. I think I saw something the other day that said it'll be 574 days between games, which is a little bit scary.
Wow,
but I'm so excited. I've been waiting for this for a long period of time. And just really grateful. Now I can look back and think about all the physios and doctors who I had really hard conversations with, and they probably saw me at my worst, yelling at them or crying or being frustrated, and really grateful that I'm past that. And
well, can confirm he hasn't even got a Band-Aid on him.
Yeah.
No.
There's not a thing wrong. Now, I can see the West Australian have done an article, the top 25 power rankings of West Coast Eagles. You're in there. No pressure, but they say that they can expect you to form the nucleus of the West Coast attack with Jack Darling. Is that a fair bit of pressure on you?
Cool. Not necessarily.
First I've heard of it. Did you know you're the nucleus?
I didn't. Nah, thank you for telling me. No, it is funny. A lot of people say, obviously, JK's not there anymore. Josh Candy's retired. So a lot of that extra pressure, I suppose, has fallen on Jack Darling and myself. And Jack's been a premier player in the competition for a long period of time, and I'm still finding my way in those circles. So it is nice to hear those things. There is pressure, but I always say there's always pressure, right? Anyone on an AFL list, you learn to deal with pressure quite early on, and if you can't really cope with the stresses of it, you probably don't make it as far as I have.
Well, they've said here that you carry an enormous weight of expectation, but with an air of grace and professionalism.
Well, there you
go. Which we'll agree with.
They obviously haven't seen me wearing my Birkenstocks into the office, have they?
You said they're professional. We're fine.
You walk in those like you're on a cloud, mate. You'll be fine. All right. Well, listen, good luck against the Roos. Good luck for round one and good luck for the season. West Coast Eagles fans looking for big things, mate. But it's just bloody great to have you back out there.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it.
And thanks for coming back. We love you on our team as well.
I know. I miss it when I'm not here.
You're part of our nucleus.
Kimbers. Big ones. You will win a crappy prize.
Ryan in Thornley, good morning.
Good morning.
Ryan, tell us, how long have you been desperately hanging out to play Kimber's Big Ones?
To be honest with you, I've only just started listening to radio station and heard about it recently, so, yeah.
Good on you, Ryan, for joining the team. Welcome aboard.
Welcome, Ryan. Welcome.
Thank you.
Do you like, have you enjoyed it so far? Has it been a good experience?
Yeah, it has been. You guys play pretty good songs on 94.5 and you got some good competitions in the morning, so that's good.
Thanks, mate.
Nice. Well, feel free to drop us a text anytime. Give us some feedback. We'll always listen. All right, Ryan, let's play some big ones here. We've got a bit of fun for you today. We need you to put these items in order. And today we're going from oldest to newest. Okay? We're talking Aussie inventions today. We're looking at Vegemite. We're also looking at the black box flight recorder and also the Hills Hoist clothesline.
Oh, classic.
Talk us through your working out, Ryan. Tell us why you think what goes where. But oldest to newest, Vegemite, the black box flight recorder and the Hills Hoist clothesline.
Well, I know Vegemite's pretty old and I know the clothesline's pretty old in the scheme of it.
They are indeed. You know, I don't know if you know how, because Vegemite often say on the jar when they were established, but I can never really remember off the top of my head. But you can phone a friend. You can ask Pete for advice if you want.
Hi.
Yeah, I'll ask Pete. Hey, Pete, which did you say was oldest?
Well, I feel like the Happy Little Vegemite commercial has been around for about 100 years. So I would probably put in Vegemite as the oldest. I don't know why, but I've got this sort of this inkling in the back of my head that the Hills Hoist clothesline is not as old as what we think. And then it's probably a toss up between the Hills Hoist and the flight recorder, because we're thinking commercial flights, really. How long have they been around for?
Did you guys even know the black box was an Australian invention?
Yes.
I'd forgotten.
Did, actually.
I didn't realise that.
Mate, I'd probably lock in Vegemite as the oldest.
Yeah, I'd say Vegemite is the oldest. Yeah, I agree with that one.
What do you think, Ryan? It's going to be between the black box and the Hills Hoist.
Black box and the Hills Hoist. We'll try the black box next and then the Hills Hoist.
Okay, so
let's
Hills
it,
Hoist
Kimber.
Is the newest.
Let's
I can tell
it.
You, the oldest is definitely Vegemite.
Oh, let's go. Yep. Good start,
1923,
Ryan.
Created by the chemist C.P. Callister.
Yep.
I can tell you that the black box flight recorder, which is actually orange,
funnily enough,
was created in 1954 by David Warren. And can you believe this? That guy never saw any royalties from his invention.
Really?
Not a cent.
Wow.
He didn't get any money, even though he completely changed aviation.
Yep.
The third item, the Hills Hoist clothesline, where does it go?
Where does it go?
1945. So it was actually Vegemite, Hills Hoist, and then the black box recorder. But the good news is, Ryan, you win a crappy prize.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, you win whether you win or lose. There's cool stuff in the fun bucket you can have.
Mate, we'll pass you over to the producers, Rami and Kerrod. They can walk you through it. But thanks for playing this morning, Ryan. And again, welcome to Mix 94.5, brother. It's great to have you here.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one.
Kimber, you know how I've started doing a little bit of wrestling for a bit of fun.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and, you've gone to a couple of... One session? Two sessions?
Two sessions. I've got another session today.
A fair bit of just watching.
Yeah, it was a fair bit of watching because it sounds a lot like this. What? There's a lot of that.
Dudes being thrown to the ground.
Slamming and smashing and all that. But I figured out yesterday, by surprise, exactly what it is that I'm going to be fighting. And probably for the rest of my life.
What?
The doona.
Your doona.
I'd watch the doona
quite
yesterday.
Quite a fierce competitor, isn't it?
No, seriously. I'd watch. It is the hardest thing. I had to watch the doona yesterday. And
we're not just talking the cover. You mean the actual?
No, the actual
like,
inside. Bit.
You do that? God, I thought that's like a once every 10 years you take it to the dry cleaner kind of job.
Yeah, never change the sheets. Occasionally wash the doona.
Okay.
And had to go and hang it out on the line. Now I've never hung a doona on a line before.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most harrowing experience I've ever had in my entire life.
And in the blue corner,
it felt that way. It was like somebody called out our weights and then our ages and all that sort of stuff. And then out we came. There's the Rocky music going, and I had to start hanging this thing.
What made it so tough? What was the real struggle about?
Well, doonas are actually bloody heavy. And they're even heavier when they're a little bit wet. But then when you're hanging it on a clothesline like I've got, where it's one of those that hangs on the wall, and so you've got lines that are about 10 centimetres apart, and you're trying not to pull too much of the line so you don't stretch the line while you're trying to get this thing over, and there are bits hanging off here, and there are bits over your head, and there are bits on the floor, and you don't want to let the bits on the floor because then they'll get a little bit dirty. You have to wash your bloody doona again. So I spent the afternoon yesterday, it probably took me about 15-20 minutes to wrestle this thing onto the line.
So who actually won?
I have absolutely no idea, because the thing is, eventually I got it on the line, but also I was that stuffed I had to go and lie down. So I don't know.
It's going to rain today, so it's going to be fab.
Oh, fantastic. Mix 94.5.